One, two, three, four. I'm talking. It's talking. All right. They're trying to record this. It's not that y'all can't hear me, I know. Romans chapter 8, beginning to verse 28. And we know. Everybody say it. And we know. Okay. See, knowing is better than thinking or wishing or hoping, isn't it? I hope. I'm hoping and a praying. And we know that all things. Everybody say all things. Don't you hate it when preachers make you do that? All things. All things work together for good to them that love God. Well, you have His Spirit on the inside of you. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And some days I don't know if I love God. Well, He put His Spirit on the inside of you. Just rest easy. Amen? I said rest easy. See, you got brains and feelings and emotions and all kinds of things. And when something doesn't happen quite the way you thought it should have happened, you just convinced that you hate God. You know? Well, I'm just not sure. I'm just going to go back to the Word of God. I'm going to go back to His Word. I'm going to go back to His promise. See, that's what He tells me to do, is go back to His promise. Is anybody with me? I said, go back to His promise, not back to what you feel about it. What you feel about it really is irrelevant, except for the fact that it causes you to go ahead and act in a way that's in unbelief. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Is that me? Yes, it is me. See, once I've been born again, once I have received the truth of the gospel, I have now been transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. I've been translated, transformed, changed. I have passed from death unto life. Now, many times I don't feel like I've passed from death unto life. When I stub my toe, I feel like I've got a toe that's been stubbed. That means you kick it against something. Y'all from Texas, you know what I'm talking about. In other words, when you kick up against something, how many know it doesn't feel good? Here says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That stubbing of my toe is working together for good. Well, I don't buy that. No, I do. I do buy that. Because what is showing up in me is whether I believe that stubbing my toe is a big deal or not. Is my toe bleeding? Yeah. Did my toe break? So what? Yes, it did. You know. But here, this thing that took place, because it either causes me to complain or to cry out to God. My establishment in the gospel has to do with whether I turn to God or whether I complain, cry down, turn, you know, lay down, cry, and just let the world have a rainy day. It could be raining all over the world; doesn't have to rain on me. Now, granted, I'm going to look wet to you, but I don't have to be wet. Amen. I said I don't have to act wet just because I am wet. Just because I got it all over me doesn't mean I have to act like it. Doesn't mean. And what I'm saying to you is that this has to do with faith. This has to do with trusting what God's promise is. And we know that all things work together for good. See, now listen to what He said. All things work together for good, for the ultimate finishing of a good work. What's that talking about? Having to do with you. Having to do with you. Because they are beginning to transform you. You are being, as it says over in Hebrews chapter 12, you're being chastened by the Lord. Now, what does chastening mean? Chastening does not mean punished. Hello. Chastening means being corrected, steered. When you chasten a child, when you disciple a child, you are steering that child. You are putting that child in a proper path. And some of that takes place when the child actually takes a wrong path. Anybody remember growing up? Mom and Daddy, what'd they do? Many times they steered you. Sometimes they steered you with a stick. God is steering you because we have stuff that happens in this world. He said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. See? Rain falls on the just and the unjust. And now, okay, what do you deal with that rain? How do you deal with that rain? You carrying around an umbrella? You know, keep the rain off? That's probably a good idea. Some of you, you need enough sense to come in out of the rain. A lot of you getting rained on. A lot of you getting rained on because you won't move. Huh? A lot of you standing out in the middle of the front yard and it's raining, the cats and dogs, and the lightning's flashing, and you won't get out. You won't come and get under the porch. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Any of this make sense to anybody? It's making sense to somebody. Come in and get out of the rain. Too many visitors here for me to say dummy. But, you know, I don't want to say that. That's terrible. Shouldn't be saying things like that. Come in and get out of the rain. Say, be corrected. Let the Holy Spirit correct you. Let the Father correct you. He's going to use His Word to correct you. Amen? I said He's going to use His Word to correct you. You may not like that word. You may not like the fact that I said He's going to use His Word to correct you. You just want Him to fix everything. Well, the problem is, He wants to fix you. See, you have a mind, will, and emotions. You have a body. You have also things that you have learned in this world that you, by golly, you know how to get out of a problem. And I'm going to get out of the problem my way. God, come with me. He's not going to come with you. He said, no, we're not doing it that way. We're going to do it this way because you're following me, remember? You're following me, remember? See, and when you follow Him, you're not going to, like your way, you're going to walk off the Grand Canyon. You know, you go His way and you'll walk to the river. He leads me beside the still waters. Come over here. Come over here. Sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I don't want to lay down. I don't want to do that. How many of you don't want to do that? There's a lot of stuff you don't want to do. All things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things are working together. They work together. This is not a message that says, hey, just, well, brother, you know, all things work together for good. Let's just not complain and just go on. No, you have to have an understanding. You have to have an understanding that what God is doing. He is causing all things that are coming to you to work together for your blessing. What the devil intended for... Help me. God turned it for good. So therefore, anything that's coming against you for evil, God's turning it for good. Amen? Susan is stronger now than she was 6 weeks ago. Why? Because bad things happened to her? No, it's because she in the middle of a bad thing coming, you begin to worship God. You begin to trust God. You do not begin to fear, even though fear kind of came up and, oh my God, what are we doing? Yeah, you're not sure about the circumstances, but you're sure about your God. Amen? Susan. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. You're prepared. You begin to become prepared for whatever may come down the pike. Amen? It's powerful. It's powerful. Anybody else can say that? Nobody else can say that. Okay, well, man, powerful woman. Philip. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. He's working all things for my good. I don't even know why I'm there. Paul was in prison a bunch of times. Man, it's probably better he was in prison than out on the road. Amen? Some of the stuff he's preaching, you would have been, he's better off in prison with two guards around you. Hi, guys. Glad you're here. Then he invites the Jews to come talk to him. Remember that? Had his own Apostle Paul in prison in Rome. He had his own hired house. He had two guards. He eventually cut his head off. That's okay. He was ready to go home anyway. But, I mean, you know, then the Jews aren't going to hurt you when you got two Roman guards standing there, you know, talking to you, taking care of you. See, all things are working together for your good. Listen, I want you to believe that. I want you to walk with this. I want you to rejoice in this. And I want you to thank Him for it. Amen? Amen? Yes. I want you to thank Him for it.
Thank you.
Now, this is not the message, but this is a good start. All right? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. My, my. We have peace with God. We're no longer His enemy. We're at peace with God. He and I are at peace. How many know you're at peace with God? God's not mad at you. God's not mad at me. You know God's not mad at me? Well, how do you know? He just said. He said, we have peace with God. God is not mad at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's not mad at the Jews for killing Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, it's because I came for this purpose. I mean, the whole 9 yards of the the Crusades. It's all about, you know, let's kill the Christ killers. Well, that's you. Whose sin killed Jesus? Mine. He came for that purpose. So now we're no longer His enemy. Well, gee, I killed Him. Yeah, but, you know, He came for that purpose. He came to die. He came to die. He came to die for you so that your sins would be totally wiped away. He took all of your sin upon Himself. He took all of the part of you that God could not look on, that prevented you from entering into the kingdom of God, everything that was preventing us from getting into the presence of God, Jesus took it upon Himself. And if I by faith say, I accept that sacrifice, I'm in. I'm in. He loves me, puts His arms around me, said, son, come on in. It's like the prodigal who spent all of his money, all his daddy's money, took every bit of it and spent it on prostitutes and everything, on riotous living. Here I've taken the gift that God gave me and spent it on riotous living. Just living for me. Living for myself. You know what? He ran to me. When God sees me coming, He runs to me. He's kind of a big guy to be running. The God, He loves me. It's because He said He does, and I believe Him. Because I've seen it. I've also seen trouble. But I know that all things are working together for my good. Nothing can get me. Nothing can tear me. Nothing can destroy me. Nothing can rip me. Nothing can take me down. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What if they shoot me? What if they kill me? What if they, you know, I'm going to Israel next month. What, you know, what if I get in a bad situation? Well, I'll be with Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Janet said, just tell her where all the papers are. Make sure I know where all the papers are, just in case. See, she's not worried. She just needs to make sure, she wants to make sure where all the money is at. Hallelujah. It's quite a bit. Yeah, shh, don't tell them. Don't tell them where the mattress is. Yeah, I'm worth a lot dead. There ain't any money now, but there could be if I was dead, there could be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, where was I when I was so rudely interrupted? So, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus. The same guy that we killed, same guy, that's the guy we have peace. Through Him. It says, by whom also we have access. Awesome. I love to have access, don't you? Access means you know the password. Isn't it great to be in the computer age? Have great illustrations. Got the password. I got the password. I got the password. We have access. I have access into this grace wherein I stand. And we rejoice in the hope. Everybody say rejoice. Okay, now you rejoice in the hope, which is a fervent expectation or of what is being done. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I have full expectation that God's purpose and plan are going to be finished and fulfilled in me. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I have that. I have that. And so as I begin to learn, then I begin to say, Father, transform me. Change me. Now, what if I've got a sin? You know, what if I were to just have a sin that just seemed to be a besetting sin? I come to Him and say, Father, I want that gone. I want that out. But you know what? I don't even know where that one's coming from. A lot of you have a sin, but you don't even, and you think that's your sin. But your sin is something else. You're sinning because you're disappointed. You're sinning because you don't believe God. You're sinning because you're mad at Him. Somewhere something didn't go right, and you're mad at so-and-so, so you're sinning against who? David said, you're sinning against God. Now, you may be sinning against a person. You may be sinning against your own body, which is most of the time. You're sinning against your own body. But don't worry, don't cry and worry about that sin in particular, but get into the presence of God and say, God, don't be trying to get rid of it and get out the steel wool and be scrubbing yourself raw to get rid of the sin. Does anybody understand what I'm telling you? Because you do that. You're guilty, and then you're trying to destroy your flesh, trying to get rid of the thing, working very, very hard to try to get rid of something that you don't even know where it came from. And you know it's happening. You know, kind of out on the surface, you know, well, that's a temptation that shows up. But listen to me. You want to find, let God show you the root of the sin. And you find that out not by trying to get rid of the sin, but by going into His presence. See, people got it backwards. They don't come into the presence of God until they get rid of their sin. Wrong. He says, come in boldly to find grace to help in time of need. Come in boldly. Come boldly into the throne of grace. Every day, every morning. His mercies are new every morning. They're actually new every second. You know, His mercies are new every morning. So you want to come in and let God deliver you from your sin. He'll show you what it is. And you'll go, and all it was, to tell you the truth, most 99.99% of sin is unbelief. It's just focused in one area or another of your life. You don't believe God took care of that. You don't believe God met that need. You don't believe God took care of that. You don't believe God took care of that because you're usually sinning to make up for something that you feel that you've been cheated out of. That you've missed out on. God cheated you. You know, God gave me a bad mama. God gave me a bad wife. God gave me a bad son. God gave me a bad this or a bad that. I got a bad rap. Now, you got to know that God loves you. I'm not saying check it out. Find out emotionally whether or not God loves you or not. Get back into this Word of God. Get back into this Word of God. Know that He loves you. Just listen. Know it because I said it. Just listen to me. God loves you. He loves you. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. He wants to bring you into His presence and cause you to have everything that He has already designed for you, which is love, blessing, mercy, peace. And He wants to cause you to be one who transforms other lives just by you being in the room, just because you open your mouth. Every one of you. Everyone. So just rest and believe Him. Trust Him. Okay, see, this is the progression. Now, finally, we're not an enemy of God. That's number one. Good. Oh, awesome. Got peace. We have peace with God through Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith. By faith, not by works, by faith. Just, yes. Into this grace wherein we stand. The grace is the power of God to cause you to be transformed, to cause you to be transformed into His image. That's what His grace is all about. You're in the vine. What's flowing through the vine is the sap. It's the life of the vine, the life of the tree flowing through the trunk. You're grafted in, so you're in that life. The grace is the life of God. The life of God is the Spirit of God. How many know you don't have sap running through you? You got the Spirit of God living in you. Amen. I said you have the Spirit of God living in you. Oh, don't yell at the people. That's not nice. Hallelujah. I tell you, you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. I don't feel like it. So, there's a lot of things you don't feel like. You don't feel like you got high cholesterol either. There's a lot of things you don't feel like. Amen? Spirit of the living God's living on the inside of you. It says, he gave you this word. Genesis to Revelation, He gave you this word. Get into it. Use it. Use it. Make use of it. Read it. See, once it goes in there and it fertilizes that spirit, I don't know if this is good theology, but this, it begins to transform you. Makes you green. Makes your grass greener. I said, makes your grass greener. Put the Word of God in here. It's not because you're like doing it, but it actually is transforming just because you know it. Peter said, I'm going to remind you of these things even though you know them. And until I'm dead, I'm going to keep telling you the same thing so that once I am dead, you'll have these things still in your memory. You'll still have a remembrance of what God has done in you and what He's continuing to do. All right? So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is, we have a fervent expectation all the way to the end of this life, whether it's this afternoon or when I'm 95. And not only that, wait. He says, don't go away, don't close the book yet. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Whoa, wait. Everything was good up to that point. Now we rejoice in what? Huh? Say it again. I know you hate saying it. Tribulation, it means trouble. We rejoice when we're in trouble. We'll close that book. Give me another book. I'd rather complain when I'm in trouble. Anybody like that? Amen. Philip, isn't that better to complain when you're in trouble? Yeah. Praise God. Man, this is bad. God, I just don't like this at all. Now He says, rejoice in tribulation. Father, I just thank You that all things are working together for my good. You know what? You know, you can develop bad habits that just go on for years and years and years and years. You can develop bad habits when you're a little kid. You can learn bad habits from your mom and daddy, can't you? You can learn traditions. You can learn traditions. Father, we break every tradition right now in the name of Jesus. Every tradition that's not of God, we break it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every tradition of complaining, every tradition of figuring things out on my own. I thank You for it. I thank You that we break every tradition. I just cast all my traditions right off on Jesus Christ. Everything is ungodly, take it away. Everything is my idea, take it away. In the name of Jesus. Take it off of me, right? I just cast it off on You right now. I don't even know what they are. I don't even know when they're going to show up. But Father, I cast it off on You right now in the name of Jesus. So He says, not only that, not only do we have hope for the future, but we glory in tribulations now. We glory in tribulations now. Here's that word again. Knowing. Everybody say knowing. Knowing that tribulation works patience. It produces patience. tribulations produce patience, because sometimes it takes a while for the tribulation to pass. So while you're rejoicing, patience is being fostered. It's being cultivated. In other words, you're not nervous. You're not upset. You're not stressed. Another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We are not. That's right now. That's right now talk. That's right now talk. We're troubled on every side right now. And we are not distressed right now. Not I'm not distressed later. Not I'm hoping that God will get me to quit being distressed. But this is that establishment of being established in the promises, established in the Word of God, that you know that nothing moves me. He whose house is built upon the sand, that house is, the house on the sand went splat. Remember? The house on the sand went splat. The house on the rock stood firm. Aren't songs in Sunday school good? The house on the rock stood firm. You have a house. You are a house. You're God's building. Paul said we're God's building. And we're built on the rock of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. He is God's cornerstone. We're built on Him. If you're built on Jesus, listen to me, you cannot be moved. Now the enemy wants to come in and say, hey, I think you got a crack down there. Made you look. Anybody do that? Yeah, do you? Made you look. Hey, shoes untied. Then he slugs you. Shoes untied, and he steals out of your back pocket. See? You're not confident that God's met all your needs. Amen? He's met all your needs. He's done it. The house on the rock stood firm. I have all things that pertaining to life and godliness. All things. All things. Well, I think things have been stolen from me. I know the enemy steals from you from time to time, but God's going to make it. He'll make it better than it ever was before. Amen? I said He'll make it better than it was before. When the enemy stole everything, he had to pay back 7 times. You know, the apostles said, Jesus, we've given up all to follow you. What are we going to get? Man, what a question. How spiritual is that? And Jesus said, don't be so unspiritual. You just get Jesus. Is that what He said? No, He didn't say that. He said, you know, whoever's given up everything in this life is going to get houses, lands, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. Didn't say wives. You get the same wife you had. Get the same husband you had. Just rejoice in that same husband you had. Same one you got. Hallelujah. Just rejoice in Him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now in this time, and in the world to come, eternal life. So see, God's going to meet your need. He's going to, now, I don't know if that means you're going to own a bunch of houses, or that means you're never going to be at lack for a place to stay. You'll never be, you know, without a place to stay. God will care for you. Having given up everything for my sake and the gospel's, Jesus said. All right, now, so not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience. They produce the fruit of patience. Okay? And patience produces experience. Now, what does that mean? Experience in God met my need. God set me free. Patience means you endure to the end of that particular tribulation or that particular circumstance, and then all of a sudden you have an experience that God has met my need. You know what? God actually came through. He actually comes through. He actually does. He actually comes through. That's experience. Experience is very practical. You know, I'm not afraid. God's coming through. I can say God's always come through. Amen? Does my son still have type 1 diabetes that he got a year and a half ago? Yeah. But God's coming through. Now, I don't know if it's finally going to get healed or not. I just don't know. But I have confidence that God's always come through. God's transforming him even at this moment. He's transforming me at this moment. Amen? In the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Okay? That's what I want you to hear this morning. I want you to hear, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's what I want you to hear. Okay, patience, verse 4 here in Romans 5. And patience works experience, and experience produces hope. Hope is the expectation that the next time your experience is going to be that God met the need again. So tribulation works patience, which works experience, which produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Hope doesn't disappoint. Hope doesn't disappoint. It's the hope. Hope is not like a hopa, 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 a hoping and a praying. Not like the kind of hope we have. But hope is based on a promise that's the promisor is good for. Hope is, you know, when I die, you know, they're going to get the dough. You know, yeah, we're paid up. The thing's paid up, and it's a good, solid company. And so it's a horrible example. We trust that, you know, when I kick the bucket, that the money's coming through. You know, we trust that. When God said what he said, he meant what he said, and he's good for it. At the end of the day, he's coming for me. At the end of time, he's coming for me. I'm not worried. I have no sweat. It's good. Amen. I mean, what's your other choice? I'd just be dead and in the ground, turning into dust. Well, I think I like mine better, don't you? See, people are afraid. People are afraid that they got to be good, have a good life. Well, they don't feel like having a good life. They don't feel like doing nice. They feel like getting pie now, you know. They want pie in the sky. They want all their pie now. And they're afraid that, you know, so they don't want to believe in God because God's going to make them be good so they can get pie later. But they don't want to even wait for pie. They want pie now. So people don't have the understanding that you're already, you know, you're going to have your pie now, but then you'll have nothing. And there is something available. And it's not being good. It's not about being good. Amen? Listen to me. Do you know it's not about being good? The gospel is not about you being good. It's about the fact that you were not good. You had absolutely no hope. No hope at all. No hope at all in yourself. See, people don't have that understanding of the gospel. Their understanding of the gospel is be good. Be good. Be a good person and you'll make it. It's a lie. Absolute lie. If you're a good person all your life, you're going to go straight to hell. There's some good theology, busting talk. If you receive Jesus as your only hope of salvation, you'll spend eternity with the Father. Trusting in your own good works is absolutely pointless. You hadn't done anything yet. You can't do anything. You cannot perform. You cannot do anything worth saving. Your good works are absolutely pointless. They have no provision for salvation. Nothing. God's Word said that Jesus Christ died for our sin, and our hope alone is in Him. We don't trust in our works, yet works begin to flow out of us. The works that he's talking about in the Scripture are the works that begin to flow out of us because he lives on the inside of us. Our salvation is not predicated on those good works. Those good works come forth from salvation. You're being transformed day by day, glory to glory, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Good, acceptable, perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to become perfected, totally perfect, but what it does mean is that some works are good. Some works are, you know, the works begin, you begin to grow. You begin to grow in His grace. Works begin to come forth out of you. Amen? And hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look back over at Romans chapter 8. verse 38. For I am persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. Say persuaded. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded. Fully persuaded. Another place it says he's fully persuaded that what God promised he was able to perform. He said the good work that he began in you, he's going to complete it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Well, that pretty much covers it. Nor height, nor, here's some more. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am persuaded that none of these things can separate me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He loves you. Absolutely loves you. Out of Proverbs 20, he's in verse 24, Proverbs 4, I'm sorry, Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 26, he says, my son, attend to my words. You can write this down. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. Incline your ear to my sayings, okay? Now, are you inclining? Are you listening in? Lean in carefully. Shut off the TV. Shut off the radio, the good Christian programming. My son, attend to my words. Good to get quiet, isn't it? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. So that's three things so far. Incline your ear. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. This is his word. This is his promises. Promises aren't all just about blessings. His promises, some of them are about the fact that I'm going to transform you into my own image. I'm going to make you look like me, and it may not be comfortable some days. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. These are his words. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You get into this word of God, the sayings of God, the words of the Lord. Hey, if you just get into the book of Proverbs, you'll get transformed. These are just sayings that are true. Proverbs aren't the gospel, but they're just true. One of the Proverbs over there, we were reading it the other day. We're doing that on men's meeting on Thursday morning. One of them says, a guy sounds right. If you're listening to somebody who's making a case for something, says, that guy sounds right until you hear the next guy. What he says about the same situation. Well, here's what so-and-so did. He did. Then you hear the next guy say, yeah, but... I mean, guy number one sounds right until you hear guy number two. How many know that's true? It's like your children. Well, he was... You know. Then all of a sudden you find out, yeah, but that was after he punched him in the face that he kicked his teeth out.